Welcome everybody to another edition of Amplify Your Business. Today we're talking to Erin from Tycoon Events. She is the CEO and founder of this event company here in Edmonton, Alberta. And we're in this beautiful space, face to face. It's so nice to be able to talk to you in person, in 3D. And yeah, we're here to hear your story about what your entrepreneurial journey has been. So
cool.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, so take me back to the early days of entrepreneurship for you. What got you started? When did you start? And yeah, and then we'll talk about the journey that you've been on since then.
Yeah, so I've always been a person who's been passionate about experiences. And so when I was a kid, I kind of looked for any and every opportunity that I could find to kind of bring people together or to expand on things. So if it was putting on shows or music performances in someone's bedroom and then trying to invite the entire neighborhood to come out, that wasn't uncommon for me to do. One of my favorite memories was one day I decided that I wanted to have a drive-through, which in my head at the time as a kid made total sense. And I didn't obviously think through all of the logistics of it. And so the old house that I grew up in was one that had one of those driveways that ran up to kind of a carport space.
Yeah.
And so along that was the basement window. And so I had this notion that I could hand food, people would drive up and I could hand food to them out of this basement window.
The basement window.
Yeah. And so I went and flyered the entire neighborhood and I had made up menus and everything. So I gave everyone my address. My parents had no idea that any of this was happening. And so we had a car pull up one day and I had said what the hours were as well. So I was like, it's a lunchtime thing. And so a car pulled up and I just remember the man getting out of his car and having to like kneel down on his hands and knees to like put through his order. And I like had opened the window and everything, but I was also so tiny that I had to stack tables and chairs on top of each other to actually get to the window. So he placed his order for, I think it was like a bologna sandwich or something. And so I was like, okay, I'll be right back. And I ran upstairs and was like, Mom, I need you to make me a bologna sandwich. She was like, what's going on? And so then we had another car pull through. And of course, my parents at that point were like, what is going on, Erin? Yeah. And I was like, I opened a drive-through. And so then my poor parents were in the kitchen, like making people sandwiches. So it didn't last very long.
How old were you when you were doing this, though?
I must have been maybe 6 or 7.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Young and not old enough to know better,
yeah,
but young enough to think that it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah, totally. So entrepreneurial bugs have been biting at you ever since you were just a small child.
Yeah, 100%.
So you must have had some influence from other entrepreneurs, exposure to that, or like, what's the background there? How did you decide that you wanted to be a business person?
I don't know. I think it was always, I just wanted something more. Like, I've never been a person that, I can't sit still. I'm always thinking up the next idea. It's just something that I constantly have to be on the go. And if I see someone doing one thing, I think of a way I can do it better.
Yeah.
Or how can I build on that in a way? And so I think that the wheels are always turning in that respect. And yeah, that's just been how I've been ever since I was little.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's either a curse or a gift, I think, in some cases, right?
I'm sure my parents thought it was a curse.
Okay. So you're 5 or 6 years old. You have that business.
Yep.
And then eventually the parents are maybe like, okay, maybe this isn't the best idea. So was that it until you started then Tycoon Events, or did you do some other stuff in between as you were aging into your entrepreneurial
So I started off, I've had such a weird, trajectory, I think, from being now a full blown entrepreneur to me thinking at one point in time that I was going to go into biological sciences, marine biology, or become a veterinarian. So I've kind of always been all over the place with respect to that. And I've always been someone who always got straight A's through school. And so I think, and most people can probably attest to this, that when you're in like high school transitioning into university or college, there's such different worlds. And so I actually got kicked out of university.
So straight A student.
100%. And everyone was like, what is going on? And so I think that that was kind of the moment that I realized that I wasn't doing something that was true to myself. Hmm. And I was kind of more focused on, this is what makes sense. I can get a stable job. It can pay the bills, et cetera, et cetera. But I knew that it wasn't truly what would make me happy.
Yep.
And so once I got kicked out of school, I took some time off to really think about what it was that I wanted to do. And because I've always been a really creative person, I went and enrolled in McEwen's Visual Communication and Design program, which I think there's a variation of it now.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
And I think because of the different courses that we got to do, that's really what started to steer me in the direction of events, really. One of the modules that we did was event planning. And I got picked out right away by a few people asking if I could come and do work for them. And so I kind of knew I was on the right path. And so I did a whole bunch of things. I was a prop designer. I did wedding planning. And then I think at that point in time, I really loved being a wedding planner. Yeah. And so I was one of the youngest wedding planners in the city at the time. And I think that's kind of because I was my own boss, so to speak, that's when everything started to fall into place. And so I did the wedding planning for a long period of time. But of course, being a lot younger, just having moved out on my own and trying to find a balance with things. Like I think I had at the time 5 different jobs and it was just, I got to make ends meet. I got to make this happen. And again, I think that it's kind of that spirit of you have a lot of balls in the air and you're willing to do whatever you have to to make sure that you're successful. And so I went back to, I knew I really, again, wanted to focus on events, but at that point in time, I was kind of overdoing weddings.
Weddings can burn you out, right?
I knew that wasn't my calling. I really liked the decor and creative aspect of it, but everything else, I was like, I can totally do away with that.
No more bridezillas.
The moms are usually the worst. But I love moms, so I should use that as a caveat. So then I decided at that point that I was going to go into more marketing and communication roles. Because at that time it was really hard to come by event specific roles. Like the industry itself didn't have a lot of opportunity, especially if you were younger in the industry. And so I went to marketing communications, knew that there was kind of always an event component to those roles, and spent many, 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 many years doing that. And then there kind of came a point that I felt anyways that I had kind of reached the ceiling at that point with doing the marketing communication roles. And it wasn't really something that I felt inspired by anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't feeding your passion.
100%.
It was related, but just not.
But it was great. Like I will never, I think those were actually invaluable years because it actually gives us now a competitive advantage that we understand marketing, we understand communications, we understand promotions. It's not just event specific.
Yeah, because events is a component of that larger package of
100%. A lot of the time when we talk with our clients, we ask them about what are your annual strategies, what is your goal, what is the ROI, what are your KPIs, and so we have a lot of those conversations so that to us an event shouldn't be a one of, especially knowing how much effort, resources, and costs go into making them happen. Has to be a purpose to it.
It needs to connect to that ROI, to the end result.
Which really helps with the messaging that's behind it so that you really know why you're doing it, who your audience is, what they can expect, what you should expect, how you're measuring success, and what your what your benchmarks for the next go around should be. And I think that's when you really start to understand that there's value in having those conversations, as opposed to, let's just throw a great event, it looks good, people are in the room, we're done, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I love hearing this, because I totally agree with you. There's a lot of people in the event business where they're just tactical. They're executing an event, but they don't really think beyond that and how to tie that all into the bottom line and really the bigger picture of what does it mean to have all those people together. How do you leverage that then to propel your business forward?
100%.
I love that you guys are connecting those dots. Yep. That's really great.
And I think that really helps with the customized experience. Like, yes, we're definitely very stern on the fact that what we do for one client, we do not repeat for another client. And if we have a client that we've been working with for many years, we will never do the same thing twice. Because again, like if you have attendees coming to your event and let's say it's the same audience, they want a new experience every time, because essentially we're doing the event for those people. And so we have to really think through what that would look like. And again, if one client is paying us to execute one type of event, we're not adding any value then to the next client that comes around if we're just repeating the same thing. So thinking through that process is really what allows it to become as customized as it does every single time.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you've been, when did you start Tycoon then?
2015.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me a little bit between 2015 and then when the pandemic hits. So what was happening in those years?
So I was on my own for about 2 years, just doing it by myself. And then 2 years in, I hired my first contractor, who actually is still with us today.
Great.
And I love her. I love every single person on our team. I'm very passionate about every person on our team. And so things started to pick up. I was very lucky in the very beginning that I got some big clients when I was just one individual doing it. And it's funny thinking back on those moments, because I don't even know how I managed it as one person, especially when you're doing massive setups and everything else. I did rope in my parents a couple of times. And to see then like us building up to the pandemic, I think we were on a fantastic trajectory. Year over year, our revenue basically tripled, if not more than that. And so things were looking really, really good. We were really excited. We had about 12 people on our team at the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so it was kind of always, again, like the wheels were always spinning. Like, what can we do bigger and better? What more can we be doing? And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And so we lost 97% of our business in the first week of the pandemic. Yes. Which was heartbreaking. Yeah. And I think because we have, as cliche as it sounds, we're such a relationship-based, relationship-focused company, which lends to why we have such fantastic relationships with all of our clients. Like, you could tell that they were heartbroken, that they had to be canceling things. But we knew that it wasn't coming from a bad place. It was coming from a place of this
necessity.
is what has to happen.
Yeah.
And we were in a weird spot that we had started, because we were doing so well, we had started the hiring process, and we knew we needed to bring two people on. And so when we were kind of sitting around the table and we were like, do we still proceed with this? We don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. We don't know how long this is going to last. We took a chance and we brought those two people on.
Yeah. That would have been when, about what month?
That was in, I think that was in June.
Okay. Yeah. So just when things were starting to look like we maybe would be reopening for the fall.
Yeah.
Really, at that point,
it was like May or June.
Right?
Yeah. We tried to kind of like push out them coming on just to see if things were going to turn around or not.
Yeah.
And then when we were like, okay, well, this, like, we don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, so let's make the decision, we went ahead anyways. We were going through a really rough time with our landlords in our old office space on 124th Street.
Yep.
And so we knew that that relationship wasn't something that we were interested in being a part of anymore. So we actually had been looking for, because we acquired more team members, we were looking for a larger space anyways.
Yep.
And so it kind of all just came to be that then we came across this office space.
Yeah.
And again, it was a really difficult decision that do we invest in a larger space that's going to cost us more money?
In the middle of a pandemic.
In the middle of the pandemic.
And in a business that has really been just decimated by the pandemic.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. We
went ahead with it because, again, we're kind of always focused on the like the long term and the end game, not on what's happening in the very short term, because I think that you can get swallowed whole and get so caught up in that you become paralyzed to it. And so I think our entire group has always been of that mentality. And so I think that's why we felt like, I always say that we're risk takers, but we're calculated risk takers.
Yeah.
And so it made sense for us to do, and we knew there would be bumps along the road and some hardships that would come with those decisions, but we knew it would make the most sense and be the best thing that we needed for the future.
For the long term, yeah. Okay, so there you are, making these long-term decisions, thinking and hoping that the pandemic is something that is going to be somewhat short-lived and that things are going to be reopening in that first fall. And they did a little bit, right?
Yeah.
There was a lot of optimism, and then there was a lot of fear because winter was coming and the flu season, cold season was coming. What was that going to be?
Yeah.
And you're staffed up. You're in a new space. What are you guys, what happens then at that point? How are you guys managing your business, your cash flow and all that?
Cash flow was definitely hard, but I've never been the kind of person that cash flow alone is going to make or break my decisions.
Okay.
Especially in the event industry, I think you get used to it very quickly that there's no steady revenue stream.
Yes.
It's always ebbs and flows. You're taking big deposits, then you're waiting until an event is done, or every client's payment schedule is totally different. And so you become used to that, that there's not really that stability. And so I feel like from a cash flow perspective, we're fantastic at budgeting, but we also know that we've never lost kind of our, I'll say like our hustle mentality, that we wanted to be in control of our future. We didn't want what was happening around us to dictate what we could or could not do.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of staff that have come and gone. Some people that were like, I need more stability in a job. I need to make more money. Or they've realized, especially during the pandemic, that this isn't what they wanted. It was too stressful. It was too demanding. And as tough as some of those situations have been, we've learned so much from them. They could have, some of them are really uncomfortable situations, but again, we've taken something out of that experience, which has kind of helped us in the long run. And so here we are today.
Yeah. So I can relate to that, realizing that the event business is maybe not where you want to be, like some of those employees, because I spent a year in the event business, working at Northlands, and like these massive events, which were just so stressful, and you really were just living off of adrenaline for, you know, the 10-day period.
Yeah.
And then it was a huge crash after that.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I was sick after, because you're just like depleted. It's just, it's a crazy industry to be in, and it's definitely not for everybody. But okay, so from a business perspective, there wasn't a lot going on. Through the early parts of the pandemic, for sure, with anything, whether it's virtual or non-virtual, but you guys need to bring in some cash flow.
Yeah.
So that is a concern to a degree.
Yeah.
So you guys must have been doing some pivoting. You must have been pivoting into that virtual space, I would imagine.
Yeah. I think before we even decided to, or I shouldn't say that we decided, we were forced to pivot. Hmm. And I think that the first course of action for us is that we knew that we had to get our team on board with that mindset, that we were going to have to change. I think to your point about being at Northlands and the massive events, we would go from having, let's say, 23 to 30 events in a year. And usually the fall would be our big, like, busiest season.
Yeah.
And I remember like November, December, we'd have an event every single week.
Yeah.
And for us, everyone was just in survival mode.
Yeah.
You just needed to make it to the end. And there'd be some injuries along the way. I remember last December, I had fallen off a stage and I had cracked my ribs.
Oh,
and we still had to keep going. And we still had, we had an event that took us 23 hours to set up. And it's just like, go, 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 go. And you do get so caught up in that rush. And then all of a sudden it just stops.
Yeah.
And so I think that the team was very uncertain about what was going to happen. I think everyone was really uncertain about their jobs, what was going to happen with the company.
Yeah.
And so I think being very transparent with everyone and just really enforcing the fact that we were committed to one another and we were all in this together.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to make a decision that would impact their lives without their buy-in and feedback.
Mm.
That's kind of what we needed to do first and foremost. And then we decided as a team, not just myself, what do we want to do going forward? And that's always been our mentality, that we do everything as a team. I might be the business owner, but I also recognize that those decisions have an impact on all of the lives that are affiliated with our company.
Yep.
And so we decided that there was obviously the necessity to pivot. We kind of knew that it was either like a make or break moment, that along the way, we've seen so many event companies kind of just dissipate and fall to the wayside because there hasn't been that mentality that I'm going to learn, be uncomfortable and be okay with not knowing and to say like, I have no idea what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And so because we knew that we were going to start to work with virtual events, we knew that we were going to have to learn a lot. Professional development has always been really important to us and we're very passionate about that. And so it was an undertaking that was fine with us. And so we spent a ton of time researching platforms, apps, software, like you name it. And then we thought, well, because we're learning so much and we're acquiring all of this knowledge, we should be sharing this with people.
Yeah.
And so that's when we created our virtual event resource, which I think when we first started it, we were like, let's aim for 25 platforms or apps or resources.
Yeah.
But we had to understand like, what is this thing going to even look like? Like we're literally starting from square one in a landscape we know nothing about.
Yeah.
But we were seeing what was happening on the periphery, that there were a lot of sources, publications that were putting out all this information about virtual events, but they weren't event planners themselves.
Yeah.
Or they typically be sponsored information. Hmm. And so it's always through a different lens. And so we decided that the information that we're getting is not the most useful or accurate. And so we wanted to vet everything through the lens of an event planner, which is kind of why we decided to start researching all of these platforms.
And then, so you would use them, you would trial them, you would go
100%.
Yeah.
So we would do demos with people. We would go, we ourselves would attend different events that people were putting on through different platforms, just again, so we could see what some of the pros and pitfalls of them were. And you just kind of like try to suss through everything. We had different forms that we'd get people to fill out. We kind of did everything we possibly could to kind of vet every I'll say listing that we put in the virtual event resource. So I think we're at about 130, 135 right now.
Yeah, that's a lot. And and there really was an explosion of all these different tools and resources 100%. For online that started coming and are still coming, I think.
Yeah.
Where was the revenue coming from? Like, what were you doing to generate revenue then?
So we got picked up by a handful of new clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that we appreciated the most from those clients was the fact that they knew they couldn't do it in-house. They didn't have the resources or their marketing teams that would typically do their events. They didn't have the knowledge of how to create and then execute a virtual event. Yep. And so I really applaud them. And we've said that to all of them, that we so appreciate the fact that they could recognize that in themselves. And so we worked with a handful of clients. They ended up being really fantastic. And I think that's where we got a lot of our revenue from.
Yeah.
We also made a lot of smarter decisions of like where we could cut costs, that we were out spending a ton of money. One of the things that was so awesome for us is that because of COVID and we weren't driving anywhere, like we saved a ton of money on parking or just the little things that you were able to cut back on. I think that really helped. I think everyone got far more efficient with their time, especially because a lot of these larger projects that might take six months to a year to work on as an in-person event, suddenly everyone was of a mindset that it takes a quarter of the amount of time. Yeah, and so you had to become super efficient with what it was that you were working on.
So you were doing a bunch of online stuff. We are filming this right now towards mm-hmm. the end of February 2022 now.
Yeah.
And the government has announced that come hopefully the beginning of March, they're going to pull back a bunch of restrictions. The event business, I think, is going to take off again, I would suspect, because everybody seems like they're ready to get back in person, right? So there'll be hybrid events and stuff, I'd imagine, a lot. What does the future look like for you? What's in the 6-month roadmap, I guess?
Yeah, so I think something that we're constantly doing temperature checks. I think we're trying to find a balance between what do we want? And we want, of course, we want to be back to in-person events, but then we also have to balance that with what is safe for people and where are people's comfort levels, because they're all over the place. And so I think that we're just so mindful of that, that we can't just rush it and we can't force people to be comfortable with it. And we see a lot of it happening, that people are going back to in-person events, but they're treating it just like they would before, and corners are being cut, things aren't being done properly. Mm-hmm. And I think that that always worries me, because then there's the potential to slip right back to what we've been doing before. I think such an opportunity for us is that when we've been working on a lot of the larger virtual events that we have, because the audience has been all across Canada, or I should say international, and we've worked with a lot of clients, because suddenly geography isn't a barrier anymore. And so if we're working with clients in Calgary, or if we're working with clients in Toronto, or wherever they're located, it's been great, because now we've established those relationships. They're confident in our skill set. And so we're able to now do business all across the country.
Yeah.
And before, we were always like, well, how do we get out of Alberta? That's always been one of our biggest goals, is that we want to get out of Edmonton. We want to get out of Calgary. We just want out of Alberta. We want to go other places.
Yeah.
And it's hard being... I don't want to say that we're like a super young business, but we've had a fantastic trajectory. We've done very well for ourselves in a very short period of time. And I think that people know that about our brand. And so I think we knew it was going to be tough to do just based on in-person events alone, mm-hmm. and that we were somewhat limited to what we could do and what we could go after. And so again, in a weird and wonderful way, virtual events have opened now this opportunity that we're not just doing local events anymore. Yeah. We get to work all over the place. Yeah.
What is the, if you could narrow it down to one thing, and I know that's tough, but what is the one thing that you would say is the key to your success?
I'd say my team, to be honest. Mm. I can't talk about them enough, that I think that our very first contractor, Alicia Powers, like still being with us today in a different capacity, and having the other people that we've had that have been here for years, and we've all gone through the struggles together. I think that knowing that those people are as committed to me as they are to each other, that really has been the recipe for our success, and being able to take risks. And you don't know how they're going to turn out, but you only grow and learn from those.
Yeah, completely. And so with risks come mistakes. Mm-hmm. So do you care to share any of your big mistakes that you've made along the way as an entrepreneur? You want to strip back and be a little more raw here?
Yeah, I think when I started this business, you can get so caught up in what people think a business should be or how a business should be run.
Yeah.
And you're constantly like, I don't have the answers to this. I don't know where to go with for this question. Am I doing this right? The textbook says that I should be doing it this way. And there's no one size fits all for every single business. And I had to quickly realize that, that I needed to do things that made sense for me.
Yeah.
And that felt authentic and natural to myself. I think the other big lesson learned was that you're so hungry at first that you want to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
And that had put us in so many compromising positions that, again, it wasn't about that relationship piece. It was just about the money.
Yeah.
And someone told me at one point that we should create our own code of ethics, and a little strange for a smaller business to do, especially an event business. But that was kind of our North Star when it came to who is aligned with that as a client and who isn't. And if they're not aligned with that, it's an easy no. We're not going to, like, we don't work together. Because again, it goes back to that relationship piece.
Yeah.
And what does the long term look like?
Yeah.
And even just working in, we know the event industry and working on events is so stressful. So what is it going to be like when we do get into those stressful moments?
Yeah.
So I think that's been really, that's been a really big lesson that we've also learned.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's a good one.
I think that we've also been in some terrible positions that we've said yes to something and then we've gone down the road and it has been terrible, absolutely terrible. And lawyers have had to get involved.
Yeah.
And I think in those moments, you kind of almost want to say, I'm willing to kind of bypass what my fundamentals are just to like get through this kind of thing. And I remember doing it once and it was horrible. And I said, never again will I do that, because again, that's not who we are as people.
Yeah.
The people component comes first and foremost.
So one of the things that I just really appreciate sitting here talking to you is just how positive you are. The outlook that you have on things for somebody who's in a business and an industry that was just completely decimated and you really had to change a lot, huge amount of stress. How do you stay so positive? What do you do? Is it, do you read books? Is it constant meditation? How do you keep this positive mindset? Yeah. That you, can then see those opportunities and really just keep pushing forward, because a lot of people, like you said, in your industry, they disappeared because it was just, it was so negative and there just wasn't opportunity that they could see, I guess. So how do you do that as an entrepreneur?
I think it's being surrounded by the right people. And that's why I think that when we decided to hire those two additional people, there was a reason why we did that. It was because I wanted to be surrounded by like-minded people who were invested in me and they knew I was invested in them. Mm. We started doing something called Prosecco Fridays every Friday, which became too much. And so we scaled back to do it once a month. But it was a great opportunity for us to get together when we were allowed to be together and catch up with each other and talk about those failures and successes. I think we've always been a really fun group of people. And we recognize that it can't all just be about work. Like, we need to understand who each other are as people, what their family lives are like. Like, who are they outside of work? Because, again, it comes down to who are you as a human being. We decided to create a social committee, even though we're a smaller team of people, because, again, it was those opportunities to connect with each other. And we have a lot of fun doing it. And so I think that trying to find that balance between, yes, when it's business, it's all about business. But we also need time to celebrate those little successes that we have and know that because we all have each other's backs, that if I'm having a really crappy day, I can tell them I'm having a really crappy day. We've always been very transparent about those things, that they know what our financials are like. They know what trajectory we're on.
Yeah.
So we're all on the same page. And so I think that's what's kept me positive, and knowing that I have a group of people that are just as crazy as I am when we're coming up with different ideas or different opportunities. Like, there's no bad idea, and I will never say no to something. That whatever the idea is, we talk through it and does it make sense to do. And so I think that's why there's just a lot of trust and there's a lot of love there.
Yeah.
And we don't share that just with our team. We share it with all of the vendors that we work with as well. And so that can't not keep you positive. But that's not to say that we don't have
your down days,
truly crappy days, because there are a ton of them. I allow myself to feel bad about things for a day. Like, I give myself that opportunity to feel as terrible as I want to feel, but then the next day, bounce back and it's a new day. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, resiliency. Very, very resilient. I could sit here for another couple hours and just talk about this with you, because you're just, like I said, so positive, and you've done so many incredible things.
Thank you.
You have such a beautiful outlook on your business, your industry. It's really great. And it's just no wonder that you're finding success in the toughest industry right now in this particular point in time. And so, congratulations on all of that. And so if people wanted to reach out to you to access some of those resources, because a lot of our audience are entrepreneurs, small business owners who are doing events or are trying to figure out how to do virtual, and now it'll be hybrids and then back into in-person things. You have resources, all these curated lists of resources and assessments. How do they access that? And then how do they reach out to you if they wanted to actually hire you to come in and do some of the work for them?
Yeah, so everything is on our website at typhoonevents.ca. Obviously, everything is accessible. We're very transparent even about what our process is, that we created this bespoke process and we didn't know if we should keep it private or not, but we were a bit of a black sheep in that sense. So we were like, here it is, so that you know exactly what you're working with and who you're working with. And I think that, and I've never changed it, but I think our social media and communications person put my personal phone number on the website and on our Google page.
Yeah.
So literally it's out there.
Go ahead, give her a call. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you again. Really appreciate it. So there you have it, everybody. Even in a crazy difficult time for an industry, for a business within this event industry, Typhoon Events has made it work, and they've made it work because of great leadership and a really unique and positive perspective on everything, and that long-term planning. And so if you like this episode and you want to check out some of our other episodes where we're talking to other entrepreneurs, go to amplifyyourbusiness.ca. All of our archives are there, and there's also a form if you happen to have a great story that you'd like to share as well. Just apply there and maybe you'll be on a future show. So thanks again, Aaron.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And until I see you guys in the next episode, everybody stay safe.